We are blessed with all that God has done for us. Today, Brother David Johnson will tell us about God's gift to us. His sermon is called, Thanks Be to God for His Indescribable Gift, using Romans chapter 5, verses 15 through 17. You are listening to the Words of Life program. For many years, Words of Life has presented gospel programs in an effort to share the good news about Jesus. We are sponsored by Churches of Christ and other dedicated believers who donate and pray in support of this program. We honor our Lord now with song.
dominion, nor self and nor sin, is thy heart right with God. Over all evil without and within, is thy heart right with God. Is thy heart right with God? Washed in the crimson blood, cleansed and made holy, humble and lowly, right in the sight of
Lord, our prayer today is filled with thanksgiving. You are so very holy and loving. Only you, the perfect God, can identify our guilt of sin and also provide forgiveness for it with the offering of Jesus. We likewise thank you for our loved ones who share with us in their lives and all that they bless us with. In addition to this, we know that all material things that we enjoy come from you. We are not worthy, but we are thankful. We humbly ask today that you will bless each of our listeners with the convictions, healing, and peace that are needed. And Lord, when you have finished with us here upon this earth, take us home to be with you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Brother David Johnson will now present Thanks Be to God for His Indescribable Gift.
It's good to be together again as we look into the Word of God. The title for the lesson is Thanks Be to God for His Indescribable Gift. And our text is taken from the New Testament, Romans chapter 5, verses 15 through 17. Please listen to the Word of God. But the gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? Again, the gift of God is not like the result of one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation. But the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. For if, by the trespass of the one man, death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? This is the Word of God. May He add His blessing to the public reading of His Word. We who have known and sought to follow our Lord Jesus Christ for many years have received many, many blessings for which we continually thank Him. Yet there is one blessing which is so very marvelous that it cannot be fully described nor comprehended by the human mind. It is a free gift, so wondrous that when we approach understanding it, we have a sense of awe and gratitude that can be overwhelming. The Apostle Peter, inspired of the Holy Spirit, penned words that should apply to every genuine Christian along these lines. Consider 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. We all, who deserve nothing but eternal separation from God due to our sin, instead can enjoy eternal life with God. And all because of this amazing and truly indescribable gift. This gift speaks of such grace and love that all we can do is treasure it in our hearts. Thank you, Lord, for this indescribable gift. We can even exclaim, as the psalmist did As he also wrote in Psalm 126 in verse 3, "The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy." Yes, we say, "Thank you." Our thanksgiving overflows unto the Lord. This indescribable gift is actually described with some detail. In Romans chapter 5, verses 15 through 17, "But the gift is not like the trespass." And it goes on to say, the same text that I've already read, Romans chapter 5, verses 15 through 17. In this passage, the Apostle Paul describes the colossal contrast between the condemning sin of Adam versus the redemptive salvation through Christ our Lord Jesus Christ. By definition, all gifts are free to the receiver. However, this free gift transcends all other gifts. This gift given had supreme, superlative graciousness and favor, as it dearly cost the giver to give it. God the Creator gave this gift to His creatures completely apart from any human merit. Adam brings death. Christ brings life everlasting through saving faith. In verse 15, note the words, "overflow to the many." A commentator writes these words, quote, "It might be said that Adam's sinful act, devastating as it was, had but a one-dimensional effect. It brought death to everyone. But the effect of Christ's redemptive act has facets beyond measure, because He not only restores man to spiritual life, but gives him the very life of God. Death by nature is static and empty, whereas life by nature is active and full. Only life can abound." End of quote. Or consider the words, "overflow to the many who receive Christ through obedient faith." So Christ's one gift of Himself in redemption is immeasurably greater than Adam's one act of condemnation. The gift, therefore, is also salvation by grace, God's unmerited favor usward. It's the gift of God, verse 16. Also in verse 16, note the words, "brought justification." In the original Greek language, it means to declare righteous. This legal terminology means the verdict is pardon from the guilt and penalty of sin and being credited with Christ's righteousness, not our own righteousness, which provides for the only righteousness that God recognizes and accepts. God declares a sinner righteous solely and only on Christ's righteousness through saving faith. Well, how can this be? Because God credits a believer's sin to Christ's account, which He paid for in full by His perfect obedience and sacrificial death on the cross. Therefore, born-again baptized believers receive the gift of righteousness as revealed in Romans chapter 5 and verse 15. In the 2 Corinthian letter, the Apostle Paul wanted the Corinthian Christians to give sacrificially to the aid of the needs of the Jerusalem church, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God, 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 12. Then Paul, inspired of the Holy Spirit, penned the ultimate contrast again in different circumstances, such as his awe and gratitude to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 15. "Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift." So here Paul amazingly compares the believer's act of giving with what God did in giving Jesus Christ, His one and only Son. Obviously, the comparison is, well, unspeakable, indescribable. Romans chapter 8 and verse 32. "He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things?" How very thankful are we every single day for His indescribable gifts and His blessings daily as born-again baptized believers, indwelt by the Holy Spirit. God buried His Son, but reaped a vast harvest of those who put their obedient faith in the resurrected Son of the living God. And yet, of course, our Lord and Savior was raised from the dead, never to die again. Someone has written, quote, "People give thanks for many reasons, but too often only because the time of the year reminds them that they ought to be thankful. It is the question of whether they really are that is really feeling thankful. It is one thing to go through the accepted motions of being thankful on Thanksgiving Day, for example, and it is another to feel really thankful. Thankfulness cannot be dedicated to any one day. It must embrace the calendar year and every day in the year. It is only by measuring our year-round thankfulness that we get a true measure of our sincere appreciation and gratitude." End of quote. Let's consider one more example of thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. In His own words, consider this, quote, "Back in 1975, I was offered a part in the film entitled Jesus of Nazareth. Our cast included Anne Bancroft as Mary Magdalene and Olivia Hussey as Mary, the mother of Jesus. I played the part of the centurion who was present at the crucifixion. Much of the film was shot in Tunisia, in North Africa, on the Mediterranean Sea, during January and February of 1976. A cold, damp wind continually knocked over floodlights and stung us with desert sand. I was uncomfortable in my thick leather uniform. My neck ached under a ponderous metal helmet. The camera for my scene during the crucifixion was to be focused on me at the foot of the cross. The director put a chalk mark on a piece of scenery and stated, 'I want you to look up at that mark as if you were looking up at Jesus.' I hesitated. Somehow, I wasn't ready. I was uneasy. I asked the director, 'Do you think it would be possible for somebody to read from the Bible the words Jesus said as He hung on the cross?' The director himself got out a Bible and began reading Christ's words aloud from the 23rd chapter of Luke. I stared up at that chalk mark, thinking of what might have gone through that centurion's mind on that very day long ago at the foot of the cross. The director read aloud, 'Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.' It was the director's voice, but the words he read burned into me, the words of Jesus. Then it happened. As I stared upward for the camera angle, instead of the shock mark, I suddenly saw, it seemed to me, the face of Jesus Christ, lifelike and clear, pain-seared, sweat-stained, with blood flowing down from thorns pressed deep into His face. His face was still filled with compassion. He looked down at me through tragic, sorrowful eyes with an expression of love beyond description. In awe, I watched Jesus' head slump to one side. I knew He was dead. A terrible grief welled within me, and completely oblivious to the camera, I started sobbing uncontrollably. Whether I saw a vision of Jesus or whether it was only something in my mind, I do not know. It doesn't matter. For I do know that it was a profound spiritual experience, and that I have not been quite the same person ever since. I believe that I take my faith more seriously. I like to think that I'm more forgiving than I used to be. As that centurion learned over 2,000 years ago, I too have found that you simply cannot come close to Jesus without being changed. End of quote. These are the words of the film actor and television actor Ernest Borgnine. Do you remember McHale's Navy and the skipper on the boat? May we all regularly, even, yes, every day, have a heart that exudes thanks be to God for His indescribable gift, Jesus Christ, by His grace given to us, as we, through saving faith by the blood of Jesus, can one day live in eternity with God, a gift that we don't deserve.
Amen.
As you can understand from Brother Johnson's sermon, our Lord has truly blessed us and deserves our thanksgiving. If we can help you in making a decision to receive Jesus' great blessing of salvation, please write to us. You can also receive a free recording of this and next week's program by asking for broadcast 2047. That's 2047. We look forward to hearing from you, and may God continue to bless you. It is our blessing to tell you that Words of Life is an international program heard on a variety of stations throughout the world. Our mailing address is Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Let me repeat that. Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Please let us know the call letters of this radio station when you write. Our email address is wol1radio@gmail.com. That's wol1radio@gmail.com. You can listen to Words of Life programs anytime you want by logging on to our website at wordsofliferadio.net. That's wordsofliferadio.net. Our newsletter is also available on this page. This is Wayne Hobbs inviting you to tune in again next week for another program from Words of Life. Sing now.